John 17. That's where we're starting today. Verses 21 to 23, we're going to read that first before I jump into our message on today. John 17:21, it says, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world would believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. Verse 23 says, I am in them, and you are in me. So may they experience, not just know y'all, he says, may they experience such perfect unity that the world would know that you have sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. This week we are talking about one purpose. Everybody say one purpose. Amen, one purpose. You know, I Googled something the other day, and it was interesting because if you want to know anything, they say you Google it, right? Although the kids nowadays, they say TikTok is their new Google. So I don't know, you know, whichever one you are prone to, you tend to bend to. But I was looking up a statistic on Google, and one of the things it revealed to me was that nationwide, across all of the states, y'all, the number one question that was Googled, or one of the top questions that have been Googled by millions, was what is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of life? You've had millions of people trying to figure out, Lord, why am I here? Maybe not even Lord, but just why am I here? What does my life mean? Does my life have purpose? That's a lot of people, isn't it? But I love what John 17:23 says. It says, may they experience perfect unity, that the world would know that you've sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. I came here to tell you today that one of our primary purposes in life is to first be loved by God and then to show that love to others. Now you go, well, what's, you know, that sounds great, but I'm going to tell you how we do in church, right? I grew up in church. And one of the things that I was taught growing up was that you have to do for God to be loved by God. And this scripture is saying the exact opposite. It's saying you can't really give what you don't have. You can't take somewhere, you can't take somebody somewhere you've never been. And you can't show what you've never seen. But in this scripture, the Lord is saying, I want you to first know that I love you, so that when you know my love, you can then show my love. He even tells his disciples, before anything, before they did any kind of miracle, anything, he says, listen, follow me first. Follow me. Then I'll make you fishers of men. Our number one goal as believers is to follow Christ. Not do for Christ. Follow Christ. And in our following Christ, let me tell you, it's going to come so effortlessly, the stuff you're going to do for him. You're going to be like, I didn't even know I could do that, Lord. It's going to shock you, the things you're going to be able to do for him, because you already know his love. And you're not afraid to show that. I love what John 1:19 said. It says, we love only because he first loved us. And we can't misconstrue that. We can't ever, okay, Lord, well, how about I can earn your love and this and that? No. We only love because he first loved us. But you know what I realized, you all? It's not just enough to know a what. You know, a lot of times that's how we communicate. We tell you the what. It's more important to know the why. Why? Simon Sinek, he's one of the best-selling authors. And he has a book, of course, and he's been on TED Talks, and his TED Talk is probably one of the most downloaded TED Talks. And it's entitled, Start With Why. Start With Why. You know, it's great to know what your purpose is. But y'all, when you know the why, that infuses passion into your purpose. Jesus, when he walked the earth, a lot of times in the scripture, it'll say he was moved with compassion. He wasn't just out here, oh, I can heal, I can do this, I can do that, I can heal the blind, I can feed you. He said, I am moved with compassion. And as his followers, that is the heart we are to take up. We are to be moved with compassion. Seeing someone without, that should move us to action. Seeing someone do something that we know that is not of the character of God, that should move us with compassion, not to judge, but to come alongside that person. We are to be moved in this earth with compassion. Amen? But one thing I also learned, and I'm gonna, if you're taking notes, please write this down because it is a true statement. It is a very true statement. The statement is, if you don't know the purpose of a thing, then abuse or misuse of it will become inevitable. When you don't know a purpose of a thing, abuse or misuse will become inevitable. I'm gonna say something. It's really cute. It's going to be really cute, actually, but I'm going to tie it in. So I caught Asher one time in the kitchen. And, you know, baby's in the kitchen. He's 8 months. He loves banging on things. He loves making loud noises. And so I had some pots and pans I was going to put up. Asher found his little way over the pots and pans and started getting my spoons. Y'all, what y'all think he did with them spoons in my pots and pans? Well, it was sounding like a clanging of cymbals going on in my house because he found his way over there and was just banging away as if that was what they were supposed to be used for. I have a cute little picture of Asher, and I want you all to put it up. But he is enamored with toys, and particularly toys that are not toys. So I had a plate, and I had a little cup. I gave it to him, and he found his little plate on his head. He found it on his head, and that's cute, right? He's a baby. It's like, oh, he doesn't know what to do with that. That's so cute. But how many of you all know it gets real in life when we don't know what to do with things, whether it be our bodies. We don't know what to do with things, whether it be our gifting, whether it be our time, our talent, our anointing. We don't know what to do with this. And so we can end up misusing it or abusing it, not in the way that God intended for us to do it, but in the way that maybe felt good to our flesh, or in the way that maybe felt good in the moment. And so it's so important to know why. Why? And the only way to know the why is to go to the original purpose of it. Well, you know who knows the original purpose of it? The creator of it. Well, isn't that something? The creator of it. And if we don't seek the way in which the creator had it, we can either experience limitations, unmet expectations, or we can end up damaging it very badly. Very badly. But the Lord says in Revelation 4:11, he says, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. We were created for God's good pleasure, and anything outside of that will be misusing or abusing that in which he gave us. And he gave it to us for a time and for a season and for a purpose. The fact that you are here today shows that you have purpose, and I think I'm going ahead of myself. I want to define purpose for you, so if you're taking notes, purpose defined. Purpose defined is to set forth, to predestine, predetermine. It's God's plan or intention. C.S. Lewis wrote, every life doesn't just have a plan from God. Listen to this, y'all. Every life is the plan of God. Ooh, that's powerful. You just don't have a plan from God. You are the plan of God. Now, I don't know about you. My mama had me when she was 18. And I wasn't necessarily planned, okay? I was what you call an oops baby. Y'all know about the oops babies? Okay. So, am I the only oops baby in here? Like, nope. Amen. Online. You feel me? Yeah, so I was what you call an oops baby. I wasn't supposed to be here. My mother did not plan for me to be here, but you know who did? And not only did he plan it, but it was a good plan. Amen.
It was a good plan.
And the thing is, we have to understand that I don't care what we've been through in life, we didn't catch God by surprise. The things we go through, the things we've done, we never catch God by surprise. He knows it already. All he's willing for us to do is just come open to him, come and open to him. Lord, this is me, all of me, ugly, disgusting, busted, whatever. I'm coming to the Lord as I am. And he says, if you just come to me, I'll clean you up. You know, the fish don't ever clean themselves. Y'all ever realize that? You know, a lot of times, and I've heard even my family say, they'll say, you know, Ashley, I love the church. And I say, well, amen. But they say, you know, I'm just not right yet. I'm not right yet. So let me go figure myself out. Then I'm going to come to church. And I said, well, you know, that sounds wonderful. However, I don't think you can do that. Because if we could do that, y'all, we would have did it already. Here's the reality. We can't cleanse ourselves. We can't make ourselves righteous. We can't make ourselves holy. We need help. And the Lord knew that. That is why he sent Jesus to the earth, to be our help, to bridge the gap between where we are and where God is. And that is what he came to do. So there is no barrier. There is no divide. We can literally come to the throne room of grace boldly because of Jesus. I love what Psalms 139:16 says. It says, Lord, you saw my unformed body. All my days were written in your book and ordained for me before one of them even came to be. Y'all, you were not an accident. Can I just share that with you all this morning? You were not an accident. You were, in fact, very much so planned. God had you in his plan. God still has you in his plan. God still has you on his mind. And there's so much more for you to do. The fact that there is breath in your body says, God, you have a plan and it is good for my life. You know, as believers, I'm always amazed at all the benefits we have in God. And I want to be really fun today, but it's a very, very serious too. There's a guy by the name of Stevie Wonder. If you don't know him, just look straight ahead. If you do know him, don't say, I'm telling my age. We not. Just look at me. Stevie Wonder. And he had a song in 1970 called Signed, Sealed, Delivered. That said, watch out now. Watch out now. Y'all know the song is... Ooh, baby, here I am, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm your, y'all know? that was before Christ. That was my before Christ days. Amen. I love it. But in essence, this is in essence what God has done to the believer. This is in essence what God has done to the believer. If you would turn to me with Revelation. Let's go to Revelation. You go, oh, that book. Revelation 3 and 5. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified because I love how it reads. It says, he who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God will accordingly, listen how we go, listen to this, y'all. We're going to be dressed in white clothing. And he says, and I will never, what's that word? Never. Never blot out his name from the book of life. He says, I will confess and openly acknowledge your name before my Father and before his angels. This is what he's going to say, saying that he is one of mine. He is one of mine. He signs your name in the Lamb's Book of Life for it to never be blotted out. You go, well, Ashley, you don't know what I did last week. Is my name going to be erased? What does it say? He will never. Well, you know, I did this on yesterday, but I still believe in God. What does it say? He will never. Oh, well, I didn't pray or read my Bible for an hour, but he will never. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will never blot out your name. So he signs us. He signs us in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Then he seals us. He seals us. I love this. If you can turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. I have a lot of scripture, but I'm really trying to support what I'm telling you so you won't be like, she up there lying. No, I want you to see it for yourself. I want you to see the word of God for yourself, read it, and know what it says. Amen. I do. And so this is why we're going through all this. I promise I probably won't be too heavy on this going forward, but today we are. So Ephesians 1 and 9, it says, God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan or his own good purpose. Verse 10, and this is the purpose, that at the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Then he talks about in 12 that he will bring the Jews in, and then it talks about in 13 the Gentiles, but I want to hone in on verse 13 in the Amplified right here. Ephesians 1:13 Amplified, it says, and now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you when you believed in Christ. Does that say when I got my act together? Did it say when I did everything perfectly? I'm asking, did it? I don't know what your Bible, my Bible read little something. I'm trying to see what y'all's read. Did it say when you got everything, all your ducks in a row, did it say that in here? No. What did it say? When you what? Believed. Oh, hallelujah. God makes it so easy for us. He says, when you believed, then what did he do? He identified you as his own. When you what? Believed. That's the qualification? Absolutely. That's the qualification. When you believe. And then how did he do it? He tells you how. He says, by giving you the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It says, in him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, you were stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, the one promised by Christ. I want to break down what it means to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is so powerful, and I feel like if we can get this in our Christian walk, our lives would change, honestly. Because we would stop looking at God as if he's mad at us all the time. We stop looking at God as if we owe him something all the time. But we'll start understanding that what he did, he already gave it to you. It says, while you were yet sinners, that's what he did for you. And now that you're a believer, how much more? How much more? Amen. So what does it mean to be sealed? Now, y'all know, I looked up the Greek, but I'm not going to try to pronounce it because y'all ain't going to have me up here stuttering. So I'm gonna just tell you what it means. Sealed in the Greek, if you look into it, it means to guarantee, to be designated, to be made secure. It is an authentication of a document, and we don't really use this anymore, but it's a signet ring. It's so the signet ring is used to display ownership of something. So y'all looking like, well, what is that? Okay, so let me back up to go forward. You know, back in the olden times when there were kings, every king had an emblem or a crest to signify their kingdom. So you knew when you saw that crest whose kingdom that was just by looking at the crest. And usually when a king would send a letter, particularly an important letter, now they didn't have the envelopes that you lick. I hate those envelopes, by the way. But they didn't have envelopes that you lick back in the day. They had wax. So they would pour wax to close an envelope. And then they would use either a ring, a necklace, or some kind of object that had the crest on it. And they would stamp that envelope closed. And they would give it to a carrier to take. This is how important that envelope was. If that carrier were to tamper with that crest, that meant death. So they were very careful to, whenever that king gave them a letter, to send that letter to whom it belonged to, or that was their life. It was very serious. And so this is what God is saying. He's saying, when you are in the body of Christ, there is a seal on you. There is a crest of the kingdom of God in the spiritual realm that he stamps on you. Let me show how powerful this seal is. It says this seal, it's usually placed on a package after the product had been thoroughly examined and inspected to make sure it was fully intact and complete. This seal indicated permanence and it indicated security. This seal was the guarantee that whatever was in that content, whatever was in that letter, was going to get to whom it belonged to. It was very important. Well, I got news for you today. God has stamped you with his seal, hallelujah, and he has sent the Holy Spirit as a courier to the earth. And here's how strong. There is no force stronger than that of God. So when God's power covers you, you can now see why in the scriptures it says, if God be before me, who or what can be against me? Because that seal secures you. Amen? It secures you for life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 10:27 says, my sheep, they listen to my voice, and they know me, and I know them, and the stranger's voice, they won't follow. And in verse 28, it says, I give them eternal life, that they will never perish. No one, not one being, not one demon, not one whatever, no one can snatch them away from me. Verse 29, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from my Father's hands. Do I have any believers in the house? Signed and sealed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is who you are. And here's the reality. I don't care what you feel. That is who you are. And every day we've got to wake up and tell ourselves, this is who I am in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Every day you've got to tell yourself that, because there is an enemy. He don't want you to know who you are. He don't want you to know your value. He doesn't want you to know what you carry on the inside of you. But God. Oh, but God is greater. The word says, greater is he who is in you than any force you shall ever meet in this world. Amen. Greater is he who's in you. Amen. You are sealed. Everybody say, I am sealed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next it says, we were signed in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now we were sealed with the precious Holy Spirit. Okay, now Ashley, what's the next one? We have been delivered. We have been delivered. Now, what you say now about that? What's delivered? Here you go, John 17 and 18. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. John 17 and 18, it says, just as you commissioned and sent me into the world, I have also commissioned and sent them, believers, into the world. I'm going to analogize this to the letter. We were talking about the letter and the stamp and the seal, right? So I'm just going to say, just for illustration's sake, that you are a letter. Now, the contents that have been written inside you, you really couldn't control that, could you? You just have to lay down and let whomever write contents on the inside of you. Then you have to let someone seal you up, place a stamp on you. Then you had to be delivered. And then, you know, if we're letters, it's funny when I say this, but think about this. A letter can't say, well, how am I going to get mailed to such and such? And how am I going to get there? I'm just a letter. Can I build a mailbox? Well, no, I can't build a mailbox. So what am I going to do? Y'all, the Lord has sealed and stamped you as his letter, and he has sent you with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to ask yourself, how am I getting A to B? You don't have to ask yourself that. You know, a lot of our purpose in life, God will tend to put you in rooms that you don't feel qualified for. And you always ask yourself, and you can sometimes go, well, Lord, how did I get here? What am I doing here? I don't understand this, but I feel like this is a room I'm not supposed to be in, but here I am. Can I just say, you have been sent as a letter to wherever you are, signed and sealed and sent, amen. And a lot of times you don't have to dictate where that is and where you're going. You just have to be. You just have to be. And whatever the contents is that God put on the inside of you, you know, there's a reason God placed you where you are. But we too, we're just trying to talk ourselves out of it in our head. But in our spirit, if we have peace, go with it. I don't care what your head is saying to you. What is your heart saying to you? What is God saying to you about the situation? And wherever you find yourself, understand that the contents of what God has put in you, he's about to bring that out of you, baby. Sometimes we don't even know what the contents is. We just know God sent me here, and Lord, whatever it is, use it for your glory. And that is our true purpose, is Father, wherever you send me, wherever I'm bloomed, wherever I'm planted, that's where I'm going to be. And wherever, whoever I'm around, I'm going to show them your glory, because that's what you've already put inside of me. You don't have to wonder about your purpose. You don't have to wonder about why this and why that. The Lord's not asking you to do that. He's saying, trust me. Trust me to get you there. And when you get there, trust me to do it. Hallelujah. Top of this year, the Lord asked me in my prayer time. I always do like a quiet prayer time. And the Lord specifically said to me, he says, Ashley, this is a moment of uncomfortable trust for you. I'm calling you to uncomfortable trust. And, you know, trust is already a little vulnerable, right? When you put the word uncomfortable in front of that thing, that's a whole nother different thing. It's like you out here, you don't know where you are. You are uncomfortable. You so far out of comfort, you can't even see the island. You out in the water, truly, out in the water. But that's where God does his best work in you. Can I say that? That's where God does his best work in you. And sometimes in our purpose, it's a little painful to not be able to rely on self. It's painful because you go, well, Lord, what if I fail? Oh, Lord, what if I fall? Let me tell you, with God, it is impossible to fail. He says that in his word. With me, it is impossible for you to fail. It's impossible. So don't look at yourself. Don't look at what I have, what I can do, my skill set. Forget all that. Lord, what did you call me to do? What do you want me to do? What are you saying about me? And whatever that looks like, y'all, do it. Do it for the glory of God. Don't even look at yourself. Do it for his glory, for his purpose. And I'm telling you, once you let him use you like that, you will be amazed at how God can utilize what he's already put on the inside of you. The pain of purpose is real. It's real. And a lot of times, it's not even a pain that hurts. It's more of a pain that puts your flesh under. Because your flesh will want you to give in or give up or run away. Say, this is too much. I can't handle. That's what your flesh is going to want to do. And you say, well, actually, how do I know it's God? Is it uncomfortable? And is it good? Oh, it's God. So you know it's the flesh when it's easy. When it's easy to do. Oh, I can do that in my sleep. Oh, I got that. That's me. You know it's God when, Lord, I don't even know, but I'm just trusting you to do it. I'm trusting you and your anointing within me to do it. So if the pain of purpose is to daily put your flesh under. Stop negative self-talking yourself. Wake up in the morning. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror. I am the head and not the tail. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Start quoting the word to yourself. Because there is nowhere in this world that's going to show you who you are. You've got to go to the Creator to find that out. And the more you believe that, the more you see that, the more you begin to manifest it here on this earth. Amen. Amen. You know, God commands us to come up higher. He commands us to be better, live wiser, and love freer. And the only way we're going to do that is if we stop looking at self and start looking at him. Will you all may stand to your feet on this morning.